Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, I want to pick on from where we stopped last time by reading from the book of Mark, chapter 6. Here, the description is about how Jesus came into his hometown, and then on the Sabbath day, he went to teach in the synagogue with many listeners. And they were astonished. And this was the response they gave to the ministry of Jesus in verse 2. They said, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as this performed by his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them in verse 4, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his own relatives, and in his own household." That is, a prophet will have honor usually when he goes elsewhere. But where people know him too well, they think that's where he doesn't get any honor. But this is the problem with when you don't give the prophet the proper honor. In verse 5, the Bible says that, "And he could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them." In verse 6, it says, "And he wondered at their unbelief." I like to read that verse 5 again, especially from another translation like Amplified Bible. He said, "And he was not able to do even one work of power there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sickly people and cured them." That is, these people didn't have much wrong with them. They had a little bit of fever here, had a catarrh here, you know, just something small. And he placed his hand upon those ones and they got healed. But the Bible said categorically that he could there do no mighty work. Or like Amplified says, even one work of power he couldn't do. And he said he marveled at their unbelief. That is, despite the fact that God had the power present, despite the fact that Jesus came with the full unction of his anointing, yet none of it could be transmitted into the life of anybody there because of a particular heart, a particular mindset that he had. They felt that they knew him too much. They felt they had enough knowledge of his background. Therefore, they said, "This one, how can he do this amount of work?" Are you getting me? The Bible said they were offended at him, and for that reason, because they did not give him the appropriate honor, he was not able to do any mighty work. Now, I've read this story to let us know that no matter how powerful God is, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, we said last time, but the earth he has given to the children of men. No matter how powerful God is, when he wants to release his power into our lives, we can actually hinder that power from flowing. We read from Psalm 78, verse 41, that the Bible says that they tempted God in the wilderness and they limited, set a mark, that is, frustrated the Holy One of Israel. Despite the fact that he had the power to bless, despite the fact that he had the power to heal, but because the people had a particular mindset, a particular heart attitude, and they did certain kind of works, God was unable to bless them. I'm trying to continue from where we stopped last time. Last time, I explained the fact that human beings are important on this earth, that it is we that control the good that can come to us from the hands of God, that if we reject it, it can't come. Therefore, we say we are talking on creating the opportunity for prosperity. Now, such a topic is so important because, you know, you hear expressions like the poor nations of the earth, when they want to rate a country like ours, they don't count it from the top, they count from the bottom. That how far are we from the bottom? Are you getting my point? Amongst the poorest nations on the earth, where do we fall? Nobody thinks about amongst the richest nations, where do we fall? For a country like Nigeria, I'm so happy about the Vision 2020 that in the year 2020, we'll be amongst the 20 most vibrant economies on this earth. You know, this is the interesting part, and that's what I'm talking about. People sometimes laugh at that because is this not Nigeria that has been ruled for a long time by military people? Is this not this country that has so much problem with corruption? Is this not this country where sometimes people claiming to be fighting corruption are the ones who are doing the corruption themselves? They are telling the stories of the background. But I like one thing that Don Odunze Jr. said. He said, if anybody says that I know this man, all they are saying is that I know his past. They can never say anything about his future. That's it. So if you tell you that I know this man, that means that last year I had an encounter with him. He was like this. 10 years ago had an encounter with his father and his brothers and his sisters, and this is the way they are. Are you getting what I'm going to say? But they cannot say anything about what tomorrow will be. The reason being that tomorrow is only described by God and by nobody else. And I'm preaching a message in this season to explain to everybody listening to me that there is what you can do to create the opportunity so that people will look at your life and be confounded by what God can produce out of it. Are you getting what I'm going to make here? And that's what we're talking about. Last time I explained that God indeed has redeemed you from all the things that might try to hold you down. And there are things you will do that is simply, when I say things now, all you are doing is to cooperate with God and you will be amazed at what God can do in your life. There is no power big enough on this earth to hold a man down that God has poured a blessing upon. Let me explain something to you. Life is not by chance. Are you getting my point? And there are always confounding variables that make the predictions of mankind fail when it comes to the blessed man. I don't know what I get my point. That is, when a man is blessed, when a woman has been called by God and his blessing is upon her, there are always confounding variables. That is, people begin to explain later that, we knew that he could never do well. It was just that one day, one man who has so much power showed him favor. Otherwise, he would not have done well. Yes, that's what we are calling grace. That is, something beyond you showed favor. You get my point? To you. People start telling stories, say, that guy, he wasn't going anywhere. It is just that the economy turned around and it favored him. Yes. I said in life, there are no chances. What we call chance are actually manifestations of the blessing of God. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is because the people's lives were attracting good from God. Despite the fact that people on this earth thought nothing could come out of them, yet God did something one day. Using David as an example. They said, bring the people who can be kings in the family. They did not even call David. Are you getting my point? But God sent the prophet specifically to appoint David. Now, somebody can come and say one day, we knew David could never be king. That boy, he was not going anywhere. He was just lucky that one day someone came to their house and appointed him king. All right, if that's what you call luck, then may the luck never stop. Are you getting my point? I don't want a life that's predictable. I want a life that God blesses. Do you follow the point I'm making? It's, the way human beings judge, how do you know a man who's going to do very well? Oh, he started a professional course in university. He had a first class in a professional course. His father knows people. You check all those things, and do you know what? He was actually born in the UK, and right now the boy has a British visa. Wow, I know that guy is made. That is human projection. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's human projection. Now, the problem with such projections is that when somebody hears it, all right, and he has none of those qualifications, unconsciously he said, this one is not made. But the Bible said, neither from the east, nor the west, nor from the south doth exaltation come. He said, but God is judge. He lifts up one and brings down another. Are you getting the point? That is, it is not what the people have. When we are talking about east and west, let me explain it again, what we mean by east and west. When we say east and west, that's quoting from Psalm 75 verse 6. What we are saying is that, what are the circumstances around the people? What is the current price of petrol? What is the current price of the naira versus the dollar? Are you getting my point? What are the current job opportunities open in the country? Is power failure a thing of the past, or the president still has a state of emergency declared in the power sector? Or when you check all those things, you say, no. These are the east and west matters, and they tend to give their own predictions. Are you getting my point? But the Bible says that promotion does not come from those things. Or when we talk about south, again, from that verse 6 of Psalm 75, south refers to where you are coming from. Do you have this passport of this foreign country? Or do you have this? Do you have these qualifications? Do you have this and that? Who's your father? Who's your mother? Who are your uncles? From which tribe are you? Are you getting my point? Those are the things we call south. But God gives his final judgment upon them. He said, those things don't dictate promotion. He said, but God is judge. He puts down one and then exalts another. That is, if God says, I will exalt this man, the man will be exalted. Please don't ever forget that. I'm talking about creating the opportunity for prosperity. What's the first point? I said, we must know, because I want to make the first point when it comes to creating the opportunity for prosperity. I've been explaining that the heart of man, the spirit of man, radiates substances, spiritually tangible forces. Now, this is the first key. The opportunities for prosperity are first created inside the heart of a person. Now, what I have said so far is for you to understand the state of a man's heart. Let me say this again, please. Don't ever forget it. What you believe in your heart will eventually come to you in life. What life gives you is not what you wish for. Let me say that again. It's not the prayer. I know sometimes people will pray all night. And they are praying about what they believe can never happen. Listen, you don't pray before you have faith. You pray because you have faith. A lot of times people pray out of desperation, not out of faith. That is, they pray because there is nothing else to do but pray. But unfortunately, they are praying with a standpoint, that is a viewpoint in their hearts, that this prayer can never be answered. Please, let me explain. I like to be very practical. A church, maybe somebody finishes preaching and a church decides that, okay, we must have prayer for the nation. And they gather everybody in church. They say, we will pray for this country. All right. What are we going to pray concerning about the country? We pray that prosperity and good will come to this land. And people will start praying. They will pray, they will pray. Then they disperse next day. Now, this is the interesting part. And then somebody comes to just tempt people. Say, look, there is an American visa for sale for 500,000 naira. 90% of those who just prayed overnight, listen, will start raising money to buy it. Not mind that doesn't bear their name. They don't care. They now say, brethren, we must continue to pray. They are back again at night. Pray that prosperity. Oh, God, everybody starts praying. Then the very next day, give them another temptation. Say, look, I found an opportunity for you to run from here and go and live in Ghana. They take it. You know what it means? They may be praying, but they really are not expecting anything. What God gives to you is your expectation, not your desire. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. There is a world of difference between desire and expectations. That is, I can desire a thing. If wishes were horses, they said even beggars would ride. But then what do I really expect? What has my heart believed that can happen? Are you getting my point? I'm trying to explain something here. That the first thing about creating the opportunity for prosperity is inside your heart, not outside there. You first must come to a point where you are persuaded that something good can happen. Do you follow the point I'm making? You must come to that point where your heart is settled, because without that, you can never take opportunities, even if God showed them to you like this. I don't know what I'm saying is making sense to you. So what's the first step in creating the opportunity for prosperity? Number one, you must come to a state of heart where you know it is possible. In fact, I'd like to title my meditation for today, "It Is Possible." You must get to a point where you know assuredly that it is what? Possible. I was reading a book recently when a man was talking about people changing their mindsets, changing what their heart thinks of. And he said that instead of thinking, I can't afford it, you must renew your mind to start thinking, how can I afford it? There is a world of difference between I can't and how can I. Are you getting the point I'm making here? And that's, look, listen, there's a scripture I want to read which will really help me drum this thing in. Quickly, let's open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. From verse 20, I want to read. It said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Concerning my words, he said, they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. And I said, because of this, verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues or the springs of life. Please notice that. He said, one, give attention to my words, bend your ears or incline your ear to my sayings. He said, make sure they stay in your heart. He said, because they have effect anywhere they get to. You will find out that they are held to your whole body. They give life to whoever finds them. He said, because of this, be careful. Guard your heart, King James says, with all diligence. Watch over it, because whatever settles in your heart decides what comes out of your life. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is, the things that come out that you will experience are those things that have been settled in your heart. First and foremost, you must be able to get to a point in life where you know that wherever it is what? Possible. Now, let me say this. I want to introduce the personality of God, because for anyone who wants to succeed in life, what you need to know is God. Who you need to know is God. Everything you need to know, in effect, that's what I'm saying, is who? God. Once you are able to perceive who God is, it says, say to Zion, behold your God. That is, once you look and you have a proper perspective of God, then you will never have a serious problem in life. Every problem you have will turn out to be challenges that are meant to be overcome, and they will be stepping stones for your promotion. Are you getting my point? Therefore, I want to explain the meaning of the word God again, something I have done in previous times. Now, oftentimes you read the Bible and God will say, I am God, and there is none else. There is a reason why he says that, and I want to explain. Because when we use the title God in life, we are saying something. Are you getting my point? Essentially, we are saying who has control of those things concerning which I have no control. That is, I may want to prosper in life, financially, materially, in everything. I know I can work hard, but experience has taught me that two people working one as hard as the other earn different amounts of money depending on who they are working for. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They are working as hard as each other, but what they are earning depends on where they are working hard. So unconsciously in life, I've been taught about that characteristic. Are you getting me? Whether I want to acknowledge it or not, I know, and that's everybody. We understand that things in life are beyond us. You can go to school and study and get a very good grade and all of that, but there's no guarantee that you will get the kind of employment that you want. You can even get that employment. In fact, they have a prayer in my place. When people want to pray for you, what they will say is that, literally, may the whole of the king not hook your leg. Because they have understood that you can go to work and without realizing that that's what you are doing, you offend and you get dismissed. Are you getting my point? There are people, I've seen people before who did nothing wrong. They happen to be in a particular area of their, maybe the one I'm thinking about is a bank, all right? They are in a particular area where some other people decided to do something, either they defrauded somebody or they were just negligent and something went wrong and all of them were dismissed. Recently, there's a trader in a Société Générale bank in France who made the bank lose over $7 billion. I was watching his story, and the man is kind of insistent on one thing. And I watched the analysis. They said this is the thing about the man, which makes his case personally, that is for him now, good, which is why he's on bail right now. He's working free while the trial is getting ready. He said it is because the man did not profit at all from all the deals in which he lost over $7 billion. Now, this is the interesting part about it. They said the guy is a risk taker. He's an aggressive trader, and his bosses knew what he was doing. That is, if these things had turned the other way, they would have been praising him. That is, the man did what he felt might work, and it went so wrong, he's now on trial for fraud. Now, that's what they mean by the whole of the king hooking your leg. That is, whether he goes to jail or not is besides the point. He has lost his job in that sector for life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, we have come to understand that certain things happen beyond our own control. So when we are talking about God, actually, that's what we are saying. I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. That we are saying, who has control over that concerning which I have no control? Are you getting my point? So when we are describing God, so sometimes this is what happens. Maybe now talking about that job thing as an example. I need a very good job. So the first question that, who do I know? Oh, I have this uncle. He's a minister of the Federal Republic. I will now start trying to call him. I heard that he's coming to the village next week. I have left everything I have to do, all the good works, all the jobs I'm doing right now, the people I'm supposed to service, everything. I have abandoned it to go and wait for him in the village. Now, nothing wrong with that, because this is how God works. You get there day one, the man is not there. They said, he changed his mind last minute. He was supposed to come, he didn't come again. So when is he going to come? Next week. So next week, you repeat the process. Then after a while, you realize that you are spending more money than you are earning, traveling to and fro, looking for this man. Every good thing you will have used your money for, you can't anymore because you have to see this your uncle. Then one day you go to Abuja to go and see him, and then you get there and tell you that, is he expecting you? He said, he's my uncle. He said, listen, my friend, this is Federal Government Secretariat. Is your uncle doesn't mean anything. Is he expecting you? You say, no. You waste a day or two spending money on hotel that you want to see this man. They say, why are you looking for him? I know once I see him, I have the job. Now, when God puts a stud in your way a number of times and you still persistently insist that this is a man that can help me, then you have given him the title God. Are you getting my point? And that's why God had to say, I am God and there is none else. That is, that uncle actually is not God. But you are just being mistaken. You have an error in your mind thinking the man is God. Are you getting what I mean by God? Another very good example. There are young people who have settled down. Actually, I've seen this one before. I've seen a man who settled down like these young people I'm talking about and who have decided that except the Lord gives them a visa, they can never prosper in life. The man I'm thinking about abandoned his wife and children in their hometown and went to Lagos, waking up every day, pursuing a visa. By the time I met him, 3 or 4 years had passed. He had not gotten it. Do something good to make your life successful. He didn't even try. As far as it's concerned, once I get there, breakthrough has come. Please, get the point. As the last time I saw the man, he hadn't gotten there. that is, as far as he's concerned, a visa to a foreign country is what? God. Because the prosperity that I desire in life, which I cannot just get because I wish for it or work for it, the person who can give it to me is America. Therefore, I say this person is God. Now, I've used all of this to help us understand why God says, I am God and there is none else. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is, God is telling you that, listen, promotion does not come from all these places. He said God is judge. That is, God is God. That is, the job of God is to judge. And judgment means bring down one and lift up another. That is, the kingdoms of men, the Bible says that the Almighty rules in their affairs and sets over it whomsoever he wishes, and upon it the lowliest of men. That is, if we understand that, you will know that in the midst of the place, the geographical location where people said, no, nothing is happening, look around you, great things are happening. Are you getting my point? You know, actually what happens to people sometimes is that they have looked around because despite their own efforts, nothing has come forth. So suddenly somebody tells them that if you go to another place, it will work. Now, I want to tell you a story which you will find, I'm sure you will laugh when I tell you, because it's very, very ridiculous. Except that this thing happened in my presence. When I was doing my youth service, that was many years ago, 7-Up, that time, they were doing all these, their promos. You know, get this number of cabs, arrange the name of a car, and the car is yours. Or get this number, or you know, pick, you know, something like that. That one, you are supposed to arrange the name, Deu, and then you get a Deu racer. Arrange the fridge, you get the refrigerator. They had a number of stuff like that. In my NYSA camp, then in Taraba State, one of the NYSA officials, the guy will come to the market, buy a crate of drinks, and begin to drink. Then I watched this man. That day he was speaking, and he said that he had gathered all the letters necessary. But in each precious gift, there's usually one letter that is missing. Maybe for that fridge now, D might be missing. So he has everything apart from that D. When he came to the car, he had all the letters for the car apart from that D. All he used to get was free drinks. And this guy was drinking his life away, filling his system with sugar. Now, I'm a doctor. I was watching this guy like, something must be wrong with this fellow. I continued to hear him speak. And he said that he has drank in Kaduna. Right now, he's drinking in Taraba State. Now, you're laughing. I'm sure. That he drank in Lagos, but since he's not working there, he plans to go down to Kogi State or the East to go and drink so that he might get the missing caps. I didn't know how to explain to him that, sir, you think the caps are there waiting for you to come and drink? That is, a man has labored. Therefore, he said the way to win this is to go to another geographical location. It sounds funny, but a lot of us, we are doing it with our lives. We have struggled in Nigeria. It doesn't work. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I have heard that once I get to America, listen to me, a struggler in Nigeria is a struggler in America. Archbishop Benson Dawosa used to say, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. I had a discussion with my mom recently, and we're talking along this line. And I said, there's no advantage of one country over another. I said, I heard that there's this cousin of mine. Look at the way she spends money. I said, mommy, listen, how old is she? When did she leave school? As far as I know, while more than 20 years ago, this woman has been in America. About 20 years ago, I said, if you've been doing business in Nigeria for 20 years, I am sure you will spend money like she's spending money. Then I began to reel out names of people who spend money like that and who have not crossed the shores. My mom kept quiet. I said, don't be fooled. You see a man succeeding here does not mean that everybody there is succeeding. I was watching an interview. George Clooney, many of us know him, the famous film star. He was interviewed on an international news network recently, and he said 95%, actually he said more than 95% of actors in the American Guild of Actors earn less than $10,000 a year. That is, they earn just about $800 a month, which is just about $200 a week. He said more than 95% of actors who work in America. There was a Nigerian musician some time ago. He made wave in Nigeria. His name was everywhere. Then somebody lied to him that the way to go forward is America. He came back from America a drug addict. He didn't have any money again. When he came back to Nigeria, his head began to rise again when he got back to Lagos. And people say, oh boy, you have come back. Come and sing for us again. And then business began to open. But by that time, he heard Uncle Lou. I'm serious. The guy had cocaine running around his brain. What I wanted to explain, there is no guarantee of success anywhere in the world. That's why God said, I am God and there is none else. The first thing you need to do concerning creating the opportunity for prosperity is for you to understand who God is and for you to realize that his kingdom indeed rules over all. He rules over every bad economy. He rules over every geographical location. That wherever God breathes his blessing upon you, you will prosper there. Listen, that mindset is key. Because I explained that God can have prosperity, a blessing waiting for you. He wants to give you, but you hinder him. Jesus walked into his hometown. He came with the fullness of anointing. They said, nothing like that happens here. And you know the interesting part? Nothing like that happened. And the people will say, we said it. You know, you can imagine that after Jesus came to his hometown, and people said, this guy used to work miracles. Go to Capernaum. Look at what he did. There was the widow of Nain. The other day we were in this town called Nain. And a woman's only child, a son, that woman was a widow. That is, this was the only person she had in life. And they were going to bury the boy because he was sick and he died. And you know, this is your brother. This is your brother, Jesus. He came, touched the casket, and spoke to the boy. And the boy answered, and he woke up. That's how he scattered the funeral procession. They say, story, why did he not do it here? Do you know that's what they'll be saying? They won't understand that the reason why he didn't do it there was because they said that, is this not Jesus? Do we not know his father, his mother? Was not a carpenter? This table I'm sitting in front of right now, he made it. I remember the day I went to pay him. Why? He took as long to make the table as any other good carpenter. That is, in their minds, they had rejected the ability of God to work on their behalf. And this interesting part, they had evidence afterward to prove that they were right. Please, that's one thing I want you to note. They had the evidence afterwards to prove that they were right. Because the Bible says that he could not even do one work of power there. Not even one. But we now understand the reason. It was because of their unbelief. What am I trying to say? Many things in life, they've stolen people's faith. And then the people will now come and explain. I mean, my cousin, me and him, we left school the same time. But you know that guy made it to the UK then? Look at it now. And look at me. What you forget is that you have other cousins who didn't go anywhere. Who are better than the ones who went to the UK. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have friends who didn't go anywhere. Just like somebody in America is doing well, so are people back in your house doing well. Just like those in some countries are not doing well, so are people around here also not doing well. That is, you can't really plot it. I like what the one man of God said once. He said, if a woman is not married, ask her, why are you not married? He said, that's because I'm too fat. He said, she hasn't checked that there are slim people who are not married too. You ask this one, why are you not married? He said, I'm too short. He said, you've forgotten that amongst the camp of unmarried women, they are very, very tall ones. That is, just look around for a reason why the blessing has not come to you. And those reasons, I call them excuses for Satan. Are you getting my point? The first thing about creating the opportunity for prosperity is to create it inside your heart. Because the Bible says that out of your heart flows forth the issues of life. Therefore, he says you should guard it how? Jealously. I am so happy you tuned in tonight to listen to me. Because if you read from the book of Romans chapter 6, Paul explained that it's the kind of teaching you listen to that affects the way your heart responds to the issues of life. Let me explain it to you again. In simple words, you are not disadvantaged in any form. Especially if you are listening to me and you have one day just knelt down and said, God, in the name of Jesus, help me. In simple words, you say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to serve you. I receive the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus that this man on radio talks about. Or the one I have heard about in my church. God, help me. Listen, if you have ever said that prayer, listen, every disadvantage in your life has been washed away. And if you haven't said it before, it's a very simple prayer. There are very simple words I've given to it. You can say it again tonight. And that is the beginning indeed of breakthrough. Because Jesus said this is a mark of the fact that the kingdom of God has come. He said the poor have the gospel preached to them. I hope you're getting what I'm really saying here. Listen, the first opportunity for prosperity must be created in your heart. And then, remember what we said, the spiritual energy inside your heart begins to radiate and starts bringing forth good towards you. Physical opportunities start getting created. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.